Paul, I know you've talked an awful lot about the fourth line. What does Nick Pétain maybe bring to that that might be different than what you've had in the past there?
Well, he's a real unusual skill set. So the fourth line was always structured as kind of physical guys or penalty killers, and he's a power play guy. So that's the big difference. He handles the puck and moves the puck in that manner. A skill level, but he's got a real good awareness, body awareness on the ice, where he is on the ice. His reads are pretty solid defensively. So a lot of the times you get a real skilled player who hasn't spent any time playing any defense. You know, he's been out there for that one reason only. Those guys sometimes can be hard to integrate into. You almost got to wait for them to be ready to play in the one role they've trained for. Nick has a pretty good awareness of the defensive side of the game, so it gives him a little bit of an advantage.
Is there a change across the league and maybe how guys are using their fourth line or what kind of pieces maybe you have available to
that? I think slowly. You're still going to see lots of teams with muscle on their fourth line, that kind of older teams, I think, will... you'll see that a little bit, but with, I do think that, you know, and it's not just this year, but over the years, your younger players are getting an opportunity earlier than they may have had in the past, and it's also that the 3-on-3 is new, so there's room for players that can excel on all that big ice.
You're going to have a mix of veterans and young guys. Is that exciting for you, or does that present more challenges?
Not in terms of how they come together. We have a real good group of veteran guys, and we're not loaded with 36-year-olds, so there's not that big a gap between our 19-year-olds and our, you know, they're not that far off life experiences. Adam Lowry came in with Scheif last year and Trouba, still three pretty young guys, and they fit into our room really well. So we're hopeful those guys can find their place, whoever we end up with, and fit in the room.
You used your goalies in different situations, rotating stretches. What's your plan? Are you planning to have Pavlik be the starter at the beginning of the season?
We haven't set our game one, but would lay odds that he'll get the first start in Boston, and then there'll be no plan set in stone if we need to. We did it based on what we thought gave us the best chance and what we needed at the time, so we're comfortable now because we've done it in the past. We can go to a rotation if we need. Andre and Mike got hot in stretches, and then we ran those stretches, Andre especially toward the end of the year. So I wouldn't say there's no plan. I just don't know that we've decided to stick with one.
Is it too soon to say Nick Pétain's made your team?
Yeah, we got a couple more games.
Okay. The little Ed Burmistrov line was ongoing experiment with that, or have you seen enough?
No, you had Ladd and Little first exhibition game. It's not their. It's also not their first exhibition game. The veteran guys on both teams, almost like they work on different things. They're trying to get their hands right, their timing right. The other parts of the game are secondary. It's not all about them. It's about how the four lines are structured as a group. So I got to something I didn't mind there in the third period, and it really wasn't about theirs. It was almost about Adam Lowry and the still focused for me on getting that young man in a role that he can excel at and that he's going to do here for a long time. So I'm going to play with that a little bit.
You haven't played much with the, I don't think you've played much with the Scheifele, Wheeler, Stafford combo.
Until the third period.
Until the third period of last night's game. Then, what does that tell us? That's your line going into the season, I don't know.
No, the last two games are important in some ways. I don't know that I'm going to play Blake in both, but Little and Ladd are going to play in both. I do have a pretty good idea where we're starting. And I'm going to get the three players that didn't play, the six players that didn't play last game are coming into the lineup, so the lines won't look exactly right. So I want to get to a structure that I understand on the bench in terms of the order players are going to come out and who we're going to play against. I did like the idea of that power play unit that, you know, like the Little Ad Wheeler, at the times they were one of the best power plays in the league last year, but
had some time for that second unit that came out, or first, just the other unit that came out.
And one bigger picture question, if I may. You had a reputation last season as one of the league's harder teams to play against. You get in people's faces, you finish checks. Can you talk a bit about how that evolves as you add more skill to your lineup?
That's an excellent question on how your identity changes when the skill set of the personalities change. So we don't want the attitude to change. The way we may have to go about doing it might change. But if we're talking about, let's just say, the four players that will be replaced, Mike Frolik was on the puck very hard. But I don't think that we would consider Tulusti Stempniak and Jimmy Slater as real physical players. So they weren't damaging people with their hits. So I don't know that it's changed much, other than the fact that we believe we can play with the puck a little bit more. I also don't think, for us, my sense all year, and a lot of times I was always very impressed with how hard we played, above and beyond just playing hard, competing in the edge that we played with. You just don't see teams in exhibition games play like that. And you can say, hey, you got to prepare for the season. It's just not. So we weren't anywhere near it last night. Our gaps weren't where they needed to be. So you can't be on the puck if you're 20 feet off it. And we had a lot of time like that. I do think, that's a question, how do you keep your identity with a changing personnel group, especially with the youth coming in? You rely on your veteran guys to play that game and not change their game. It's like I said, the guys going out of our lineup weren't physical players. But some of the players coming in aren't big. They just got to get the puck. They can do it any way they want. They don't have to put people on their butts all the time, and they don't have to snarl. They just got to get the puck. And I think the skill set's there for them to do that.
On Paul's question, you said you expect more talent in the line, or more skill anyway, in the lineup this year. Do you have to adjust your game plan?
The style of play? So let's look at the game in two different ways. What you do with the puck and what you do without it. So we won't change, but we would make additions to how we handle a puck, how we move the puck, and that's going to take at least a year to get right. But it's not about the kids. It's the function of what our blue line looks like now. From the start of last year, Bufflin, Myers, and Sherrod are on your blue line. We should be able to move the puck pretty effectively back there. So we think we can add some things to how we transition and add some things to how we attack. But I don't think that we need to come off, but we can't come off that. Well, let me put it, we're not coming off that idea, that intensity, that compete. It was the reason that we had success here, the sole reason. Where a lot of nights our systems weren't perfect, we didn't move the puck perfectly, but we just worked so hard, and that will be who we are.
While talking with Michael Hutchinson, he called it one of his best summers. I know it's early, but have you noticed a difference from him at all, whether it be on the ice or...
You always notice a difference from a guy who came in as an amateur or as a semi-pro, an American League guy, and he spends a year in the NHL. So, yeah, he looks different. He's physically stronger. Mike's a really hard-working guy, so he came back bigger, stronger, quicker. But you would put Ben Sherrod in that mix too, right? He comes into the locker room completely differently in training camp but he has another competence as a man now that he not just played here, he didn't just back up here, he carried the ball at times, and that's, for him, his starting point.
He calls it from his past experience, but very mentally strong, it appears. How important is it to have a guy, kind of come in, lose his job at the end to Andre, and just have a guy who's level-headed as your backup?
Well, that's how he got here, right? So he had some dips in his career where he was passed off and then comes in, and there were stretches there where he had to bounce back. So he got yanked in his very first game and comes back and plays exceptionally well, and that was kind of a bit of his season. That his adversity handled exceptionally well. I think that all of those goaltenders that have success eventually in the league have that fight back in them.
Paul, something new that will start for you next week is the coach's challenge. And I'm just looking for a general comment on that, on how you approach it. And with your coaching staff, if you've had sort of a protocol walkthrough on how it's going to work on your bench.
Well, we haven't been able to use it. All right, so it's not available to us yet. So the test run is in the regular season.
I'll just go through as it was explained to me. The coach's challenge, so what's going to happen is I'm going to challenge something on the ice. They're going to put it on the Jumbotron, and there's going to be, in this building anyway, there's going to be 15,000 people that agree with me. And unless it's absolutely clear that I'm right, and I think in the goals that they surveyed, and I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but it's in around 167, I think they overturned about seven. So the point isn't, I'm not going to win any arguments. The tie is not going to this runner. And it's not even if I'm a foot ahead. But if if the guy falls down midway to being first and home plate, you're getting the call, if that made any sense. Not really to me, but it's going to have to be exceptionally clear. They're not going to go back and forth on offsides. Was the puck over? Was it not? You're not getting that call. So the whole idea with this is to clean up those calls that just burn you for months and months and months. And when you put that in the context of we had 99 points and found out we were in the playoffs in game 82, those calls, they bother you for years. We've all had them, and we still remember the referee that made the call, and a lot of them, fortunately for me, have retired. But you're mad for the next 3 years because it's that tight. The pressure's that great. So what the coach's challenge does, and I think it's fantastic now, is it's going to eliminate those. In terms of when I use it, we've got the same thing that every team has. We have the video in the room. We have people watching it very close. We have communication with the room to the bench, and they're going to make their best call, but we're going to also have our players help with those calls. So for our goaltender, I don't want to burn that time out just because the tender's a little sour, or they got to help me make the right challenge by what they see. And if a guy comes to bench and says, no, that was good, I'm not going to throw it. But if they can help with that and say that it clearly was interfered with, there's going to be way, just on incidents alone, there'll be more goaltending coaches' challenges. But the goalies are going to be sour because they're going to be sure that they're interfered with and they're not going to get the call. And they're going to have looked at the Jumbotron and think that they should get the call. We did it with the coaches, the 30 NHL coaches at the coaches' meetings this year, and they threw up a bunch of video. There was no unanimous decisions in that room. The biggest disparity in agreement was, 20 to 10 on one of the calls. So those calls aren't getting called back. I think it's great, though. It cleans up the handful of ones, but there's going to be, you guys who do talk shows, there's going to be a lot of chatter the next day on how he saw it twice, got it wrong twice. That's the way it's going to go.